Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us tonight here for another night of establishing your faith. We're glad to have you with us. It's going to be a great night. We're going to talk about resurrection. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about the last days of Jesus' life, what he did. And we're going to talk about all kinds of things tonight. And getting us ready for the greatest event in all of the history of the world. All of the history of the whole world, the greatest event is the resurrection. When Jesus rose again from the dead, crushing death, hell, and the grave, he actually came back with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he's the one that said, where is your death? Where is your victory? And grave, where is your sting? We're going to read those verses tonight. And just going to be another one of those great sessions that we have here. And we're glad to have you all with us. Now, I got to convince this thing that it's going to go ahead and let us put this title in here. Come on now. There we go. Welcome, YouTube. Good to have you with us tonight. Going to have a good night tonight. Don't think we have any music tonight, so nothing should be interrupted anywhere. I noticed I was listening last night to the Blog Talk Radio stream, and you know, there was a little bit of wherever there was audio, they didn't let it through. So it's going to be a good night. You're going to enjoy tonight. And so stick around, share this link with somebody. Tell them, get them up on the TV. It's going to be a great time together. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you are doing to and through and for us right now in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, you, Jesus, our Lord. And you crushed death, hell, and the grave, and you brought to us the greatest victory that there ever was. And that is resurrection power living on the inside of us. As we go into this night tonight, thank you, Lord, that we have the victory through you, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name, may every single person that you would like to have with us here tonight, get here and be with us tonight. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. So now we're going to get ourselves started here tonight. Right off the top, hey, Brother Dan is coming in and out. Brother Dan, we just as soon you stayed with us. Well, somewhere this is going to work. There it is. There it is. I tell you, we got the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that you are along with us for the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you, real quick, go to your computer, go to your Facebook, go to your Messenger, click the YouTube button, share it with a few folks real quick, and invite all your friends to be here with us so that they can enjoy it. It's going to be a really good time tonight. It's going to be a really, really, really good time. And I'm getting ready to read a bunch out of the book of Acts. And then We're going to actually have a message tonight with Amir Safadi. I really enjoy this man's ministry there from Israel. And he's sitting in front of a tomb tonight. And I just want you to be able to get in there and enjoy it and be a part of it. I'll get a couple more shares shared here. All of a sudden, when I got ready to go, I'm like, you know what? I really would like to see those people here tonight. And so I just figured I might as well share a few more of these while I'm talking. If you don't know how to do this yet, try them. Go figure it out. All right, there we go. Turn with me now to Acts chapter 4. And Acts chapter 1. We're going to go to Acts chapter 1 first and then Acts chapter 4. And I'm going to read some verses. This says after the resurrection. I'm going to read some verses. And then we're going to talk about, or we're going to let Amir preach a message to us about Jesus being the first fruits of the resurrection. Now, you might say, I don't even know what that is, Pastor. Well, it's all right. Just stick around. You're going to be able to see it. Jesus was the first one to be raised from the dead. And because he was raised from the dead, you and I get to be raised from the dead. And we get to live a life of joy and happiness with the power of the resurrection living on the inside of us. And so we're glad to have you with us. Here we go. Acts chapter 1. I really am almost back there. There we go. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, had given commands to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. No matter who you are, no matter where you are in your life right now, God wants to reveal himself to you that he is alive by an infallible proof that reveals Jesus to you. Now, there's a lot of people today might say, yeah, but Pastor, you don't know how I live. I'm not worthy of Jesus revealing himself to me. Well, I got this word for you. There ain't a single one of us worthy in our own ability, but because of what Jesus does, makes us worthy, and that's the only way any of us have access to being worthy. It's because Jesus makes us worthy. So say this with me. Show me an infallible proof of you, Jesus. Now, Acts chapter 4. Now, this is after the resurrection. This is after the church began to grow. And so this is after the Holy Spirit fell. Here's Peter and John having just had an amazing miracle happen right there in the temple. The lame man is healed, and they didn't like it. The chief priests and all them guys didn't like it. Now, listen to what happens and how much Peter talks about the resurrection. I'm going to read Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to read down through 1 through 33. Here we go. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sanhedrin came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They were preaching in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That's where they were preaching. Now watch this. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. So these guys are preaching Jesus raised from the dead. Of course, you'll notice there that it says the Sanhedrin and the priest. Well, that's Caiaphas, the high priest. And he's the one that had to go deal with the fact that the veil of the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom. Verse 4. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Now, it doesn't matter what time of history you're in. If all of a sudden 5,000 people start following one guy in one day, there's going to be a bunch of people that's going to be very alarmed going, what is going on in this situation? And we better be paying attention. Look at verse number 5 and 6. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, he was the high priest, John and Alexander, and as many were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Now remember, Caiaphas is the guy, him and Annas, that had to go deal with the veil of the temple being torn from the top to the bottom. Now, think about it. They had to walk in there and say, what are we going to do? Because that curtain, that veil, was 5 inches thick. That's a very thick piece of fabric, and you can't just sew it back together magically. And, of course, they know the presence of God is in there, and anybody that goes in there is going to die if you're not covered by the blood of Jesus. Here you go. Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed to a helpless man, by what means he's been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, him, this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you might be saved. I mean, Peter didn't come back at them with a little mealy mouth, 3 points, and a poem thought. He came right back in their face with the resurrection, because these were the men that crucified Jesus. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. When they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, a miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. See, that's why you got to have miracles, signs, and wonders. Because when there's a miracle standing in front of everybody's eyes, nobody can deny it, especially when it's somebody that's been laying there sick, diseased, broken for many years. And now all of a sudden, they're healed and they're made whole. Keep reading. So that it, I'm 17, spreads no farther among the people, let us severely threaten them. Now, from now on, they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. Now, they were afraid of the multitude of people because they knew if the whole city turned against them at once, even the Roman army would not be able to kill all of the flood of people that would come at them. They were afraid of the multitude. And that's what you and I in America got to build on the inside of us is there's these politicians, what, 25 of them, 30 of them? They're afraid of you and I. And you and I have got to get ourselves so bold that they run and hide from us because they know we're together. Let's keep reading. I love this. 18, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all in the name of Jesus. Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. Don't look up. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Watch this. When you think about this, they had seen the man laying on the side of the road for many, many days. They saw it over and over and over for many days. Now he's healed and he's up running. There's nothing anybody can say. 23, being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven, earth, and the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage, and the people plot vain things? Kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. And if you keep reading that, that's Psalm 2. It says that God will mock them into derision with laughter. 27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined beforehand to do. Now, Lord, look at this verse. Look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. Not with all obnoxiousness, not with all harshness or crassness, with all boldness because of who's on the inside of us. And that boldness will be filled with love and compassion. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, let's do this. We're getting ready to go to a message by Amir Safadi. I just enjoy this man's ministry. And I want to ask you a question, first of all, tonight. Now, We're not going to get into big, long discussion because I want he's got to have plenty of time to preach his message. I want you to think on the inside of you how big you thought the door of the tomb was where Jesus was laid. How big was the door of the tomb? Now, like I said, we're not going to get into a big conversation publicly about it. I want you to think in your own mind. Later on, we'll talk a little bit about this. But he's going to take us into a tomb, hewn out of a rock, and show us an example of what that is. Now, 3 years of ministry, every kingdom that has ever come and gone, every war that's ever been lost and won, has spoke of Jesus. Amen. Amen, John. No, you're commenting on the live program, my brother. You're commenting on the live program. Welcome, John. It's good to have you. And all the rest of you joining us on YouTube, thank you for being here with us. It's always good to see you. There's 4 of you streaming now. So if you want to, sign in and say hello, and it'll be a blessing. You ready? Got your speakers turned up?
Battery 90%. Connected to.
Pay attention to the first 5 minutes of this program because you want to see this tomb where he's at. Now, he's in Israel. This man lives on the Sea of Galilee. And thank God. God bless Amir Safadi and his wonderful ministry there in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. Watch this. This is called the First Fruits of Resurrection. Let me get everybody in the rightful place here. Make sure all the apps are working. Here we go. All right. That's on. Volume is up. Brother Amir Safadi.
From the Judean hill. Mark the single. And here we are. Most Jesus here we are. Go back. The in the so I what can happen? I am a man.
Hallelujah.
Do you not believe this? fly for you. Okay. You know?
Power of the
resurrection. Oh my God.
My. Let's do this right now. I want to pray. Anybody who's here, and you might be listening at this point, I want you to pray the prayer of salvation with me. So just lift your hands and say this. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to Romans chapter 10.
According to Romans chapter 10.
When I believe in my heart.
When I believe in my heart.
And I speak with my mouth.
And speak with my mouth.
I shall be saved.
I shall be saved.
Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And you rose again.
Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And that you rose again on the third day just for me.
On the third day,
into my life.
Okay.
Right now. All right, we'll get it. I receive you in my life right now.
I receive you in my life right now.
Right now.
In every area.
In every area.
In Jesus.
In every area.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Mighty name.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
And amen. And amen. Now, you might say, Pastor, what happened to those people? Why were there different time? Well, there's no way to get all of this internet to all act together at the same time, so don't worry about it, because it doesn't matter whether we said it five times over. The bottom line, if you just prayed that prayer in the depths of your heart, Jesus just came into your life in a very, very powerful form. Because, see, all he's got to do is have an invitation, and he walks right in and is a part of your life. When we were growing up as kids, there was many times there was a picture out there that many of us had in our bedrooms. There was a picture of Jesus standing at the door and knocking. And what was that all about? That was about that you and I, if we will open the door and let him in, he will come in and sup with us. And then he changes our life forever. I think it's so amazing that Brother Amir Sarfati, a man born in Israel, of the tribe of Judah. I love it. I'm getting ready to read it in just a minute here. He said, 1 mile from my house is the road to Emmaus. Wouldn't that be an amazing place to live? Just get out there and walk down the road someday saying, Jesus walked on this road on his way to Emmaus and met those two men. And he brought this message to us tonight. Of course, you can tell it was in 2021 when the pandemic was still going strong around the world in some places. But see, it ain't about that pandemic. Anyone, by the deception of meds, by the deception of medicine or medical organizations, crossed over to the other side, if they believed in Jesus, the moment they closed their eyes here, they were on the other side in the realms of glory, and they were raised immediately. Close your eyes here, you open them over there. Paul said, instant death is instant glory. And so, thank God. Now, let's just read it for a minute. I just want to read a couple of these verses that he was referring to. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's just read it. 1 Thessalonians 5, and actually it's not 5, it's 4. 4:13. 4:13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5. No. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, any of your relatives, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. All right? No greater love has anyone than this, that they would lay down their life for a friend. You and I never know. You never know who's made it into heaven and who hasn't. You don't. So don't accuse anyone of not making it, and treat everyone like they want to make it, and do your best to get everyone you know to pray the prayer of salvation and say, Jesus, come into my life. Get everyone you know. Keep reading. I'm in 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and take the if out and put since in there. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, that's you and me right now, we're alive and we remain, will by no means precede those who are asleep, those who have passed over to the other side. I got my dad over there. Brother Dan's got his dad. Sister Mary just sent her husband over there. And, let me say it different about Mary. She didn't send her husband over there. He went, but she's got one on the other side. All right. 16. Look at this verse. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Now, remember, we can go to Acts chapter 1 and see him ascend into heaven. This time, he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. So, what's it sound like? I like Brother Mike Warnke says, to the man who was a taxi, he's going to sound like, taxi! No, don't worry about that. He's going to make a shout. Personally, I believe he's going to say, come up here. That's what I believe. All right. You can believe whatever you want. We know it's going to be a shout. We know it's going to be with the sound of a trumpet. And we know the dead in Christ will rise first. That's all those people that's in their bodies are in the grave. Their bodies are going to come out of the graves. People are going to be freaked. Absolutely everywhere across this earth, because that's the rapture. If you're ready, you're gone. If you're not ready, you're left behind, and you don't want to be left behind. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain, that's those of us believers that are alive and still here, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, we shall always be with the Lord. And then he said, comfort one another with these words. The rapture is comforting. The catching away, it's a comfort. Why? Because it doesn't matter whether you've already fallen asleep here, went on to the other side, or you're still alive here. We're going to be caught up together in the clouds to meet Jesus. Now think about this. Jesus was the first resurrection. Jesus was sown as by the Father so that he could be the first fruit of many brethren, you and me. Jesus sowed, Father sowed Jesus and received the harvest of all of us. John in the book of Revelation said, there was a number in heaven that no man can number. People say today that do polls and that kind of stuff, there's a billion people on earth today who call themselves believers, all right? Now, it's not up to us to decide which one of them are and which one isn't. You and I just know this. If you and I are alive and remain and are believers, when that trumpet toots, we're going to scoot. And you and I are going to meet the Lord in the air. And I love it. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're coming back at the end of the 7 years of tribulation. We're going to reign with him for 1,000 years here. So I don't know what you look like, but you're going to get to see me be 1,060 years old on this earth at least, because I'm 60 now. So I'm going to be 1,060 years old here on this earth. I think it's an amazing thought to think. Why? Because I'm coming back with Jesus to reign in those 1,000 years, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. Now, think about this fact with me for a minute. Let's go read it. Let's go to Acts. Luke. Luke. It's Luke. I got it marked right here, Luke. Luke chapter 13. Amir kept referring to this while he was sitting there. So let's read it. All right. I would normally read this tomorrow, but I might read it tomorrow anyways. But I just want to read it tonight because you kept talking about it. Behold, I'm in Luke 24, 13 through 27. Through 34. 13 through 34. All right. Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Amir said, a mile from where he was sitting is the road to Emmaus. So he was right there by this. He literally was sitting in that video right here where this story happened. I don't know about you, but I think that's absolutely amazing. Watch. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Remember the verse of scripture that says, be careful to entertain strangers, for some, having done that, have entertained angels unaware. Remember Abraham? He saw Jesus and the two angels walking, and he ran out to meet them and said, hey, guys, come and have some lunch with me. Sarah, go quick. Let's make some lunch for the strangers. And he didn't just entertain angels. He entertained two angels and Jesus. Watch what happened. 16, their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. Notice in your Bible that him is capitalized, and that means it's talking about Jesus. Anytime you see a capitalized pronoun, it's supposed to be talking about Jesus. All right? 17. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have one with another as you walk and are sad? One of those whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which happened there in these days? He said to them, what things? In my Bible, it's red letters right there. That's Jesus. They said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. They gave testimony that according to Luke chapter 4, Jesus fulfilled his mission on the earth. What was his mission? Open the blind eyes, set at liberty those that were bruised, set the captive free, proclaim that this is the year of the Lord. Keep reading. How the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. If that was the end of the conversation, then as he just so well taught, then that's all right. It's the end. He crucified him. He's dead. 21. We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things have happened. And certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. Now, I'm going to put some parentheses. And as typical men, we didn't believe them. Don't be one of those men. 23. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And really, should say he is alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb, found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Look at 25. Then he said to those, O foolish ones and slow of heart. You would have thought right then their eyes would have been opened to believe in all that the prophets had spoken. He didn't even say what I spoke to you. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, remember, they had 8 miles that they were walking together, so Jesus had lots of time to tell them at the beginning, and Moses, and went all the way through the prophets. And now remember, Jesus is the living word. That means Jesus is telling them about himself and all of the words that were prophesied by himself, by himself. The Holy Spirit, all the way through the Old Testament and the prophets, spoke of Jesus. Jesus is the living word. The word was made flesh and dwelled among us. It was Jesus. So the living word is standing right there with them, proclaiming to them the living word. They drew near the village where they were going. And he indicated that he would have gone farther. Hey, guys, been good talk with you. Got to go. They constrained him, saying, hey, abide with us. It's toward the evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. It came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, I like circling these pronouns because it helps it stand out, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him when he broke the bread and served them. And they're like, it's Jesus. Can you imagine? And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, didn't our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Man, if your heart isn't burning within you when we open the scriptures, get part of your heart fixed and be right with God. Why? Because anytime someone who's got a fire of the word on the inside of them is sharing the word of God with you, That word that we're speaking ought to burn on the inside of you with the word that you got your eyes on, your ears are hearing, and you're experiencing in your thoughts and your minds. It ought to set you on fire. Look at what it says. And while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us. I love it. 33. So they rose up that very hour and went all 8 miles. It was late. Went all 8 miles and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and that he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now, I was going to stop there, but I can't stop there. 36. Wow. Show up right here, Jesus. Show up right here, right now. Stand right behind me. Put your hands on my head. Wow, there's a manifest presence of God in this room right now. Wow.
Amen.
Wow. Somebody said, "Pastor, what you looking for?" I'm looking for Jesus to stand here because I've got way too many stories I've heard of people who were speaking the word of God and Jesus showed up. So it's all right if he shows up right now in this room. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace to you." They were terrified, frightened, supposed they'd seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your heart?" Jesus, I don't doubt you can manifest in this room right now. Manifest presence of God. If you need healing, just reach your hands up to Jesus right now and say, "I receive healing in my body from you, Lord Jesus, my Lord and my Savior." Man, there's a powerful presence here. Then 39, he said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, and that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "It is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, the city of Jerusalem, until you are endued with power from on high." And then when you go there, we started our night out with it tonight, Acts chapter 1. Verse 1, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Here's the reality, guys. Jesus wants to reveal himself to you and me in the same manner as he did to these men. And yes, if he shows up and you're faithless and unbelieving, he will probably rebuke you for being faithless and unbelieving. Don't be proud. Don't be proud. Don't be yourself and just say it if you have to. I struggled with my faith today. If you have to say it, say it. God, your Father lives on the inside of you, and he's never going to judge you for that. He's going to say, let me help you see it. Let me help you get through it. Let me help you understand it so that you can be faithful and believing, because that's what he wants for you and me. Now, I want to go one more place to the book of Hebrews. I know that there may be some here tonight that you might say, man, Pastor, I'm just not used to this much word in one night. Well, it's okay. This is what I have to say. Remember that when you get to heaven, you're going to be in heaven with Jesus, the living word. And if you're unaccustomed to and not used to the word here, what are you going to do there? So the best place to get ready for heaven is right here on earth reading this book. Now listen to me. But it's not if you don't read your one chapter a day, I'm going to beat you with a stick. That's just stupid. Pick this book up and say to the Holy Spirit of God who lives in you now that you've been born again, say, open the eyes of my understanding so that I can see the wonders of your word and how they're written for me. Just ask him, and he'll do it. See, we got this religious, weirded out, denominational, as our brother was saying. Religion can't save you, never can, never will. It'll make you more confused. It's not about a denomination. It's about an empty tomb. It's not about a theological degree. It's about read your Bible. It's not about how many grades you finished in school. It's about, will you open the Bible and say, Holy Spirit of God, reveal yourself to me and make these words come alive on the page. Watch this. Hebrews. Let's go to chapter 9. I think that's where I want to be. I got so much I want to say right now. But let's do chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And let's go down here to verse 11. All right? Because Jesus took his blood to the mercy seat in heaven. And once for all, made the sacrifice, put his blood there, and became our spotless, sinless, sacrificial lamb. That, if it was 2,000 years ago right now, that might be what Jesus would be doing. He might be in heaven, putting his blood there. Watch this. Verse 11, Hebrews 9:11. 9:11. But Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come. with the greater and more perfect tabernacle. Remember, you and I are the tabernacle. Not made with hands. That is not of this creation, wood, stone. Not with the blood of bulls and the blood of goats and calves. But with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all. He took his blood, he gathered it up, and took it to the mercy seat. And put the blood upon the mercy seat. His blood. That's verse number 12. Once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. They did that once a year, but it didn't remove their sin. It covered it. 14. Man, this is one of the most valuable verses in your New Testament. I recommend to you. Wait, let me show you. I recommend you circle it, you highlight it, you draw lines all over your Bible, you outline it. Wait, you go up here in the first page of your Bible, like I got right here, and write it in the first page of your Bible and say, this is an important verse. Look at this verse, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, the same Spirit that he raised from the dead, offer himself without spot to God. Remember, Jesus' last statement, next to the last statement was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What was he doing? He was clearing his life of offense so that he could say, it is finished. And there would be no offense in his heart. Offered himself without spot to God. Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. By the blood of Jesus, your conscience, the part that you sear when you sin, will be cleansed and purged by the blood of Jesus. One time. Once and for all. It will be cleansed and it will be purged. Once and for all. Why? Because you receive the blood of the Lamb. And in just a few minutes, we're going to take communion together. And if you're home, go right now. Take your phone with you. Go to the kitchen. Get you some grape juice and bread. Bread and water. Jesus said bread and the fruit of the vine, and we'll receive communion together. I know you might have been trained in one of those groups that says, you're not my pastor, I can't take communion with you, but that's not in the Bible. That's just in your denominational book. The Bible says, anytime the body of Christ is broken, and you're a member, you can receive it. And if you're not a member, we'll pray the prayer, so you will be. Let's keep reading. The eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Cleanse, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, he, Jesus, is the mediator of the new covenant. You guys, God bless the 92nd lady. Think about this. There's nothing that you and I can do in our physical body to make ourselves holy enough that Jesus would receive us. The only thing that we can do is receive what he has already done. It doesn't make any sense to our mind. Think about our sin. that all we have to say is, Jesus, I receive you and the cleansing power of your blood, and our lives are set free from sin. But before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, Jesus said, I will be. He said, I will be the spotless lamb. Don't worry. That's not a countdown to the rapture. That's a countdown to the end of my Blog Talk Radio program. Jesus said, I will be the spotless lamb. Before the foundation of the world was even set up, he offered himself as the spotless lamb. So long before you were ever even able, before Adam was even on this earth, Jesus already had made the decision to pay the price. You and I, all we've got to do is receive him into our lives, and we will never again be the same. Never again. So this is what I want us to do right now. I want us to pray this prayer of salvation again. This time, I'm going to put it up on the screen so that everybody can read it with me. And that way everybody can see the words and know exactly what we're saying. I might say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. You weren't as bad as the Apostle Paul. Paul was killing Christians in the name of God. And that day on the road to Damascus, Jesus showed up. And personally, I think he pushed Paul right in the chest and said, you and I are going at it right now, buddy. Or not buddy, because that's the way we talk in our day. But Jesus showed up. Jesus said to Saul of Tarsus, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, who are you, Lord? And so because he said the right words, he got to live and not die. And no matter what you've done, just receive him into your life right now. So our folks that's with us on Zoom are going to say this prayer out loud with us. And they'll be on their Zoom channel. But I encourage you to pray it with us. Everybody pray this. It doesn't matter if you've prayed this prayer 100 times, we've prayed it literally 1,000 times on this program since we began. If you've prayed every one of them, it's okay. Pray it again and mean it from the depths of your heart in Jesus' mighty name. Are you ready? Say it with me. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say this. I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and your mercy, all of your love and your righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire,
and
so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Welcome to the family of God. We're glad you're with us. Welcome, 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 welcome. I know by the Spirit of God that some of you right now are saying, wow, something's going on inside of me, Pastor. Yeah, it is. You just said, Jesus, come into my life. And Jesus just came into your life. And what he does when he comes into your life is he totally transforms everything about you. Jesus causes you to come to a whole new revelation of him, because his being has now filled your being, because he literally came. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 14 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and a whole bunch of other places that you have become the temple, the dwelling place of Almighty God. Literally, right now, you have just been made an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. You might even say, I don't even know what that is. That means everything that Jesus has access to as the Son of God, you and I have access to it because he is our elder brother. You and I are not deity, but Jesus is our elder brother because he's the firstborn of many brethren as he was resurrected from the dead. And so even though tomorrow we're celebrating the resurrection, it's been 2,000 years that Jesus has been resurrected and producing life in all of our lives. Now, you might say, Pastor, this is all so new to me. How will I ever know how to walk with God? Well, click like, subscribe, and hit the bell so that every time we're here and we're live, your life is being ministered to with life and fire and blessing. And most of all, the living word of God. I don't teach anything by fables or by my thoughts or by somebody's doctrinal book. You can look behind me. I don't study no man's book. I have one book that I study, and that's called the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. This doesn't have anybody's doctrinal statement in it. There's no doctrinal help in this in any sense of the word. Why? Because if we let the word tell us what the word says, we will always have the right doctrine and the right understanding of what's in the Bible. And that's what we do. And you stick with us. Now, remember this about being a Christian. When you went to school as a kindergartner, you had to pass kindergarten. You couldn't get to first grade. Now, that's not the case anymore. But when I was a kid, they held you back. So you had to learn something. But in the kingdom is not about first grade, second grade, third grade. The kingdom is about you're in. Show up. You will begin to grow and develop immediately. We'll give you some verses to read. We'll show you some specific places to study. I got specific videos you can study. Listen to them over and over again. They're on YouTube. Don't cost you a penny. And if it don't cost a penny, then there's no excuse not to have the revelation. And you'll be able to come to the knowledge of the truth because the Holy Spirit now lives inside of you. And right where you are today, you'll begin to grow and develop. And every time you get with us, the word of God will bring itself, will come alive to you. And the Holy Spirit will help you see, and you'll grow and develop so fast. If you apply yourself here, every time we show up, that people won't even know you as the same person in 6 weeks. They won't even know you because they'll be like, something happened to you. And you're like, yeah, something happened. I'm getting answers for my life I never knew was available. And they'll say, where's it at? And you'll say, God. And they'll, the first thing they'll say, oh, you went to church. Huh? No, I found God. And I found some people who believe in God Almighty and how he changes your life. Yeah, we're a church. It's called the Community of Faith. Yes, we want to help you be connected to God. But the only thing I'm going to connect you to is this word, and it'll be a blessing to you. My email address is right there, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. Send me an email. Ask me a question. Tell me your story. Send me a prayer request, and we'll be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Hold your communion elements up, and we will pray this prayer together. It's on the screen. You should be able to see it on your device and be able to read it. And hang on just a second. Yep, still hang on just another second. Come on, let's go here, computer. All right, let's go here, computer. There we go. Got to get this up here and see. Oh, yeah, that's it. Here we go. Hold your elements up and pray this with me. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your body broken, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, in my emotions, there is nothing missing, nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Pause. Say it again. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supply in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ and my community and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the bread together. The body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you endured the cross and you counted it all joy. We thank you. And now, lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find grace and grace and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no more condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus,
my conscience is purged.
My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Now, let's sing together, because the Bible says that Jesus, after they took it, they sang a hymn and went out. Here we go. Sing this with me. I got about five songs all hitting me at the same time. Let's sing What Can Wash Away My Sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, you might say this with me. You might say, Pastor, you guys aren't even singing in the perfect timing and everything. Well, you can't when it comes to the internet. And I want you to remember something. I'm pretty sure that all those fishermen probably didn't know how to all sing in perfect timing themselves, even though Jesus, the perfect harmony, stood right with him. But it's okay, because it's the sound of the kingdom of God as we stand together in victory in Jesus' mighty name. And so, we bless you tonight on this Resurrection Eve. Of course, when you think about this, the new day, now, like where I'm at right now, it just now is dark. You just now, the horizon is finally now dark. And so this is actually the beginning of the new day. All right. So this time, if you were with me, this is about the time, 6 o'clock at night is about the time when the new day begins. Sunrise, sunset is when the Jewish day began. All right. So that's a whole new experience for us to think about. And so in the morning, when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, that was actually 12 hours into the day. And then some people believe that she actually went at twilight, right at that beginning of the very first moment of the day. So
it says it was dark, but it but the beginning of the first day was, like 6 o'clock in the evening, Saturday night, an hour time.
Yeah. And so now people might say, Pastor, why are you saying that? You trying to get us arguing? Oh, no. No, I'm not trying to get anybody arguing. But listen to this. Yeah, listen to this statement. Because there's a whole lot about the kingdom that you got to understand through the eyes of what was going on. The Bible very specifically says he was 3 days and three nights in the center of the earth. That means he had to be buried. He had to be put in the grave on Wednesday afternoon. Now, it doesn't matter about your theology or what your church has always taught or anybody else. You got to throw all the books away and you got to open up the Bible. Now, the only reason I make that statement is always remember that The Bible says, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Will tell you more about your life than anything on the face of this earth. Because it spans 7,000 years of recorded history is in this one book. And so learn to do that. Now listen, I'm going to read it to you right out of John. I got another 5 minutes. John 20, verse 1. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Well, this is what we know. It's the first day of the week, and it was still dark. So we know that. Now, just watch. That's John chapter 20. Let's now go to Luke 24. This is verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, that's how Luke said it, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in, did not find the body of the Lord. All right? So we see it was very early in the morning when they went there. And then, of course, Mary ran to Peter and John in the book of John, and they came running back. Let's go now to Mark 16. Look at this. Mark chapter 16. If you have one of these Bibles like I got, all of this is right there for it. Let's go to Mark 16, verse number 1. Sabbath was passed. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the tomb, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. All I'm doing is saying, this helps us get this thought. How's this going? And they said among themselves, who rolled away the stone, the door of the tomb first? When they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. He said, don't be alarmed. Hey, you know, angels. No, hey, don't be afraid. Right. Have you ever seen yourself, buddy? You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who's crucified, he's risen, he's not here. See the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him as he said to you. They went out quickly fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed and said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. When he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out seven devils. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. We got one more to do. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and I'll be done. You guys know me. I do this all night long. I just keep going. 28:1. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow. All right? You'll notice that it says he rolled back the stone from the door. I always just thought it was a big chunk, but Amir showed us it was actually hewn in a circle. Interesting. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen. And he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. Indeed, he's been going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as I behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear, great joy, and to bring his disciples to the word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice! So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Now, what did we just do? We just read all four of the situations about early in the morning. Cause us to look at it and say, what does it actually say? I know what your church has always said. One of the greatest things you got to do is quit worrying about what the church said. Start reading what the Bible actually says. Many times you'll find out the church has been telling you something that ain't even in the Bible. Why, you're going to have an Easter egg hunt on Resurrection Sunday morning at your church defies belief to worship Ashtaroth, the goddess of spring, in the ground of the church when we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. That defies any revelation of any sense in any way. That is a false god.
That's what my grandchildren want. They want to get together and have fun and
everything. Yep.
Well, we'll go to church first.
Yep. That's exactly what they say. Yep. Yeah. Wait. As a pastor, there's a day coming when you're going to stand and look to Christ right in the face, and you're going to be judged for everything you taught your flock. Everybody don't have the light.
I celebrate the resurrection of Christ 365 days out of the year.
Amen. And not everyone has the information and the revelation that God has brought to me. Now, I can't judge anybody to condemnation, and I won't. But I say it often when I'm here, because I want anybody that hears it to say, wait a minute, what is he talking about? Why did that preacher just say that? I don't condemn you. You don't go to hell because you go looking for an egg. but learn that is celebrating the goddess of spring, not the God of Jesus. And those two shouldn't be celebrated on the same day on the same church property. That's just a revelation to get. And if you need help and you're not getting what I'm saying, just send me an email and I will give you any answer you want to have. And I'll help you with a revelation. I don't condemn anybody. It don't matter to me. You got pink hair and green teeth, or you got green hair and pink teeth. It doesn't matter. We're going to love you into the things of God and help you know him and be a blessing to him. Jesus' mighty name. Well, here we go. Our closing verses. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. We read these all the time because we want to continually get them before you, and it'll be a blessing. Go ahead, sister.
Okay, that's verse 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And amen. And then my last verses before we go, Job 33, verse 14 through 18, 25 and 26. For God may speak in one way or another, and man may not perceive it. That means you might have heard this and say, it's good. It's good. I'm reliving it. But I'm not getting it. 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon you, and you're slumbering on your bed. Verse 16. Then he, God, opens up your ears, and he seals an instruction inside of you in order to turn you from your deeds, in order to conceal pride from man. In other words, get rid of pride. Get rid of the evil way. Turn back your soul from the pit and your life from perishing by the sword. Your flesh will be like a young child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray to God, and he will delight in him. He shall see his faith with joy. Why? For he, God, restores to man his righteousness in your life. In Jesus' name. Till we see you again. Remember this. He is risen. You guys were supposed to say he's risen indeed.
He is risen indeed.
Hey, let's do it again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Wait, let's do it again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Woo!
That was so good. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. All right. There it is. We did it. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm going to say expect an email because I still got lots of questions. But I'll put them in email.
Send it on over. Send them on over. I'm glad to help you. And remember, if you ask me a question, I'm not going to tell you what Rockefeller, Abraham Lincoln, Aristotle, or anybody else says. I'm going to give you an answer that comes from the Bible with chapter and verse. So that everybody who sends me an email realizes I'm going to answer you in the Bible. And I'm probably going to send you a message to listen to that'll help lay it out. And that what helps you do that? Stay in the Word. Because that's the answer for all of our life. In Jesus' name. All right. Until we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
God bless you.
And Jesus is Lord. All our friends.
And Jesus is Lord.
All our friends on Blog Talk Radio, we love you. God bless you. You guys are already on the resurrection. Wait, how do you say it? First Fruits Resurrection Morning. I like that. That's a better understanding. I like it. Call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name.